I was going to say, we're going to talk about a guy who all of you wanted to name your children, your firstborn son. You're like, man, I got to name him this. No, not really. I want to talk about somebody who was a game changer. You know, we've looked at kings of Israel. Some of them were, some of them did evil in the sight of God. And there was a long, remember over here on the left, there was a huge long list of those guys who did evil in the sight of God. They followed their own wickedness, their own ways. They didn't want to, they didn't care about the people. All they cared about was themselves and their fame, their recognition. And the people suffered greatly for that. But then you had some kings, you know, kind of a medium list. They did either what was good or what was right, but they still had a few issues. They did pretty good for the most part, but you know, some were half-hearted, some were prideful. People didn't prosper and weren't as blessed as they should have been, but there was three. Remember, three people, three kings, and the last one, like I said, the cherry on top was Hezekiah. He was the guy that pulled it together that really did love God, even when he became, well, I don't want to mess it up for Sean. I was like, wow, I'd love to preach it. But listen, these were kings that had tremendous influence. None of us are going to, I don't know, that, some of you guys, Caleb, you look like Mark Hall. I think you got a chance, brother. You got a shot. I thought, man, we got casting crowns in here today. Woo, excellent. But now, I don't see many kings out there. I don't see much nobility out there. President, I think a lot of us are probably qualified as much or so than the guy in office now, but that's my political two cents for today. But anyway, we are recording this, right? Hey, come on, YouTube. I said that. I'll repeat it. That's just what I think. But anyhow, none of us will probably ever have the clout or esteem that these guys have, but we all can be game changers. And the guy I want to talk about today, his name is Shamgar. Shamgar was God's unknown hero. There's only two verses in the Bible about this guy. Judges 3:31 and Judges 5:6. Doesn't say a whole lot about him, but yet he was a game changer because he took the little that he had in his hands and just made himself, he just took what he had and made it available to God. And let me tell you, remember, Kelly, when you were just talking about struggling with how do I, you know, what do I do? Where is Kelly? I can't see you guys. There she is. Okay. I was going, wow. That's one of the reasons why I went with this is because we have giftedness, we have talents, but sometimes we seem unsatisfied. Even though we have God Almighty, we have Jesus at that name that, wow, should cause us to quake and tremble because that name saved us. That power saved us, washed us from our sin. We find ourselves unsatisfied because we're just not following God's perfect path for our life. And why is that? You know, some people may feel, you know, unsatisfied because they've never met Jesus as Savior. They don't know His grace. They might be like I was. They might know about God, know everything about Jesus. Theologically accurate, know all the Sunday school answers, but have never met Jesus Christ personally. That's how I was for a long, until 22 years old, till I said, Jesus, I need you. I need you to save me. So that might be one reason why people are unsatisfied, but another reason is they've accepted His grace. They have the peace that passes understanding. Every night they know, if I die in my sleep, I know I'm going to heaven, but I just feel unfulfilled. It's because they're just not serving God to the full potential that he's planned for them. And so the reason I want to look at Shamgar is because what I would love to encourage you to do and encourage me to do is to take what little gift and little talent we have and place it in God's hands and let Him direct us, let His Spirit guide us. You know, there are religions out there that tell you to strap dynamite outside your body and blow people up. But this Word of God tells me in Acts 1:8 that God puts dynamite inside me to explode encouragement and love of Jesus Christ on the people. There's a big difference in that. It's a relationship with Christ that energizes us. The power of the Holy Spirit just making us new. So let's look at the Shamgar here. Turn with me, if you would. If you have your Bible, turn to, not going to be turning much, but over in the Old Testament, that left-hand clean portion with not a lot of marking and scratching in your Bible, the left hemisphere. Just kidding. Isn't it amazing? Most people's Bible, man, you get over here in the New Testament, it's like mark, 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 coloring book. Over on this side, not a whole lot of scratching going on, is there? I don't know, Kevin. I think they're dead today. Are they awake? Looks like, I thought I talked slow enough. I mean, goodness. Let me slow down. Judges 3:31. Man, I tell you what, Friday night I was so excited about our life group because I was teaching on the gift of teaching. I was like, man, I can't wait. But I had a marriage ceremony, and it went way long. So I didn't get back to Bible study till 8:30, and I was like, I pulled up, and it looked like a used car lot. I mean, it looked like, I was like, where do all these people come from? And as soon as I get there, bye, brother, see you later. And I thought, wow, that's how you pack a house. Tell them Pat ain't going to be there tonight. But Judges 3, verse 31, look at this verse. It says, after Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Turn next page over. Just next, skip a chapter, go to chapter 5, verse 6, and look at this. It says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned and travelers took to winding paths. That little bit of obscure passage tells us a lot about this guy and how really similar we are to him. I mean, I think I'm kind of similar to him in that I carry a stick with me. I'm a timber cruiser, so this thing helps me. It helps me get through bushes. If you've ever seen my arms up close, you'll notice that I've got scars that one. I mean, they're just permanent. They're just thorns that are so deep, tear through bushes. Snakes. I can love on you guys Sunday and Monday through Saturday. Anything that gets in my way or I have issues with, I can take care of business and leave it in the woods. But Shamgar had an ox goad. But listen, Shamgar, before I get on Shamgar, I want you to realize this. Back up one, his name in history. I can't remember what order I had these in. His name, son of Anath, tells us a lot about him. It tells us that he's most likely not a Hebrew, not from Israel. Even though he lived in southwestern Israel, he was most likely Hittite, some type of Canaanite, one of those ites that God said, get out. When you come into the land, Joshua and Caleb, drive them out, get rid of them. But you realize sometimes we compromise with things that God tells us to get out of our life. We compromise, and then later on there's issues from it, right? Well, this thing happened. Well, this guy, what I love about this, Anath was the name of Baal's sister, you know, Canaanite goddess. His family were probably very pagan, very Canaanite, did not know God, did not worship God. And what that tells me about Shamgar is it doesn't matter what your last name is. It just matters who you are. Because you may not have come from a very godly lineage or heritage. There's some of you that maybe like me, you're starting all over from scratch. I was kind of kidding around, but not. When I tell people my name, people ask me, are you related to? And I have to really consider, wow, should I tell them who I'm related to? Because sometimes that name doesn't represent Jesus too well. But you know what? Praise God, we're individuals. We can make a difference. We can be game changers. We can be like a Shamgar. And what we do from this point on, it doesn't matter what was in the past, what that name had to do with it. We're somebody that can make a difference for Christ. All right, next. This is a foundational verse I want you to realize in 1 Corinthians 4. It's required that those who have been given a trust or a steward, it's required of stewards to be found faithful. God expects us to be faithful, Kelly, with our talents, with our voices, with whatever gifts that we have. That's one of the reasons we were going through motivational gifts Friday nights at our life group, is so that people could know how God had gifted them and know, you know, instead of sitting around going, man, what do I do? You will know what God has naturally from the womb gifted you to do. You'll know what colors, what lens you see the world through, whether it's mercy or prophecy or encouragement or teaching or leading and ministering or giving. And if you got any givers out there, I can use the help. No. Just kidding. But hey, some are givers. They love to meet tangible needs. But the reason we're going through that is so some people could say, man, I got more I want to give. I got what little bit I have in my hands I want to put in God's hands to maximize the kingdom. Jesus has been so good to me. I just want to serve him and love him. A steward is just somebody who manages the house or dispenses what belongs to the house. It's not really theirs. Steward is somebody, we finally, you know, maybe we get to a point in our life where we realize, you know, a lot of you guys have, some of our groups, life groups, have done radical and crazy love, saying almost the exact same thing. You know, at one point in your life, as you mature in your Christian faith, you kind of realize, it's not really all about me. In the whole grand scheme of things, it's not really about me. It's about what I have that God's given me to maximize his kingdom and help out. That's all it is. I've got this stuff, and I like my stuff. My stuff's cool. My stuff's not sin. But if this brother or sister has a need, I might be able to part with my stuff to help them. That's really all it has to do with realizing everything I am and have is from God, and it's for him. It's not really about me altogether. Steward cares for the master's goods and property, because you know what? Your house, your boat, your things, your breath, it's not even really yours anyway. It's all God's. We come and we give, you know, most of us give 10%. When you get down to it, 100% of it's God's. And we honor God with our 10, but you know, every bit of it's God's. And we are responsible for what we do with it. We are responsible for what we say, what we think, what we feel. So just remember that. We're just stewards. We are dispensing. My children, as much as I love my children, they're God's, and I'm responsible for a little small bit of time. And I saw Eb says, man, I know you. And I was like, dude, I know you. God called me to ministry when he was in youth there at Parkview. And I remember my daughter, a little bit younger than Eb, but just my little baby girl now, had 3 grandbabies by her. And that quick, we just have a short amount of time to speak Jesus and God into their life. So make the most of that. But anyway, what I want us to look at first with Shamgar is Shamgar, he just did with what he had. Look at our first thing. He did what he could. Do you know what he did? He says, I'm available. I'm simply available. We've got a family back there, the Wainwrights. We got Virgil and Pam and Seth. And at the end of the service, I really love if you guys would come down. And we just want folks to lay hands on you and pray for you, because they're leaving tomorrow to go to Kenya. And I'll let them kind of share exactly what they're going to do in the next few weeks. And I wanted to know, you know, guys, how specifically can we pray for you? Because the Bible says that an apostle is a sent one. And I want you to know, these guys back here, they're sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're sent to go to Kenya to minister his life to some children over there that really need to know life and peace. Jesus has commissioned them, and we just want to place hands on them and send them. Anyhow, Shamgar made himself available. Any of us can do that. It doesn't matter what gifts we have. You know, I think of Travis normally up here playing, and I'm like, man, that guy is like, if God would have blessed him with like 4 more arms on each side, he could do it all. He could do it all. But too bad he's not a Hindu god, or man, he'd have it made. Anyway, God's got tremendous gifts and talents. We all have something. But you know what every one of us have? We can make ourselves available. Said, here am I, God. Here am I. Send me. When we realize who God is and who we are, wow, I'm overwhelmed at how big and immense God is, and this huge God of the universe would just love me and want some, just want to talk to me and want to lavish love on me. God, just send me. Send me into people's lives. I've lived for the devil long enough. I've had him riding me like a motorcycle long enough. I just want to live for Jesus. He also noticed that what I love about Shamgar, and I remember going through phases in ministry trying to be Adrian Rogers. Man, I got the alliteration down, but nothing else. That's about it. I can make 3 points sound the same. I love the alliteration. And I know I've talked to Brother Eddie. I mean, all of us, I think, kind of go through it. We want to be Adrian Rogers. We want to be Chuck Swindell, or we think we need to be Billy. Fold our Bibles and be somebody. Try to be somebody. We try to emulate people when God designed you specifically to be you. He designed you to be you. I like the mohawk craze going around. It's all right to have a mohawk, okay? If you want a mohawk, you have one. Till you have a job interview, then you might want to lower it. That's why I cut mine at first. I wouldn't hire anybody to look like that. But you are called to be you. God made you uniquely you, and God does not make mistakes, regardless of what people think. No matter what circumstance you find yourself is, the God of this universe does not make mistakes. It cannot happen. It does not happen. It will not happen. God is God, and he's very good at being God. Just remember, he's really good at being God. He's real confident in his Godship. So there's sometimes in our life we say, what are you doing, God? I'm frustrated. He's not. He sees the big picture. When all we see is the little tunnel vision, he sees it all. And God is completely confident in his absolute Godship. Loves us, and he's willing to overlook a lot of our pettiness because he knows who he is, and he loves us anyway. But notice, I just want to ask you, you know, what can you do? Shamgar did what he could. He made himself available. What can you do? Will you? Man, that light is like funky. Will you? I just like to see people's faces. I kind of like dialectical preaching where I talk and you talk back. But I like to at least be able to see your eyes to know that you're there. But, okay. Will you make yourself available? And just say, God, here I am. You've been so good. It is the absolute least I can do. We love coming to church. We love Bible study because there is something so different about this place. Maybe it's just that anybody can come because you look around and it's like, wow, okay, I don't think anybody would be offended. But man, the worship is absolutely meeting God face to face. And the word normally is rock solid, something totally different. And the love that you feel from people is genuine and real. It feels like you know each other for years. It feels like you've known somebody for years. And it could be a matter of weeks. Just feels like that connectedness is there because we got that bond of Jesus together. And folks would do anything for anybody. I just love it. I'm absolutely blessed. But will you make yourself available? Now notice, Shamgar did what he could, but he also did what he could with what he had. Remember I was telling you about the stick? He had an ox goad. The Bible says right there in verse 31, chapter 3, verse 31, he had an ox goad. And an ox goad, in case you didn't grow up on a farm like I didn't, it's like a big stick, about the size of a shovel handle, maybe a little bigger, about 6 to 8 feet long. So his stick was a lot bigger than my stick. He must have been a big old boy. I don't know, but it had a point at one end, so if the cattle or the oxen got real slow, they could say, come on, you know, get going. You got to get moving. Any time to slack up. Yeah, get going, get going. And then at the other end, you had this blade so that if dirt or roots or something got in the plow, you could kind of clean it out. Well, during this time, during the judges, you see a pattern occurring where God's people, wow, everything's good. God's on our side. Woo, we rock. Hallelujah, he reigns. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Let's party. Woo, let's throw down. Let's worship some Canaanite gods. Let's have us some love feasts or whatever they did. And things start spiraling downhill. Now they fall into apostasy. The Philistines come in, take over their land, take over their people. Just everywhere they turn, they're being abused. And then they cry out, "Dear God, save us. The Philistines are all over us." God's like, okay, again. Seven times you see this pattern happen through Judges where God's people, God delivers them, everything's good, whoop, whoop, and then they fall into apostasy, cry out to God, or, you know, wickedness happens, the Philistines, the Amalekites, and all these ites come in and whoop up on them. They cry out to God, he delivers them, usually brings a Shamgar, a Deborah, a Samuel, a Ehud, a Othniel, one of these judges, a Gideon, uses somebody to deliver them, and then the whole cycle starts over again. Very much like us. Very much like us. God delivers us, miraculously does something, and then we say, I got it, I'm good. I don't need the word of God just yet till we're absolutely on our faces. We feel, crushed. And we can't cry anywhere but straight up, God, please help me. We're just like them. So we can't pass judgment on these guys. Well, anyway, during this time, Shamgar's out there in the field just minding his own business, poking the cows, cow tipping. I don't know what he's doing. Doing something with his stick. Man, it comes them daggum Philistines again. Let me tell you, he went to town, laid 600 of them out. I don't know about you. This stick does not look, this doesn't look like much. This is just Acer rubrum. It's red maple. That's all it is. But it's worth about $96,000. That's how much money I've made with this stick. It's ugly. That's like ugly. If you're one of you guys can carve, you could carve something pretty nasty looking out of that, like a woolly booger. But that stick does not look like much, but it makes a living for me and my family. And it doesn't matter what's in your hand. It's have we placed it in God's hand? Notice in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, God gave 5 talents. God gave 2 talents. Now, remember Travis, he's the 5-talent guy. Of course, Kevin is too. No, Sean too. Okay, we'll say Sean's 2 talents because he can play the guitar and he can preach. So Sean will be the 2-talent guy. Me, I'm the 1-talent guy. I'm the 1-trick pony. All I can do is get up here and blab. But no, the issue was not whether who had the most talents. The issue at hand was who's going to be faithful, a faithful steward over what they've been gifted to do. God expects faithfulness with 20 gifts? Who knows? Where is he at today? I miss him. Anyway, over here with Sean, the 2 talents, as long as he is faithful, as long as Travis is faithful, they will both hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with what I've entrusted of you." And that ought to be all that our hearts cry and yearn for, is to hear one day, as we see Jesus, we can just kneel down to lay down our crowns, and he says, "Well done, Pat, my good and faithful servant." That's really all I want to hear. And what I finally realized enough, I've matured enough in my faith, as much as I love you, absolutely love you, pray for you, cry for you, I don't have to make you happy. I don't need to hear "well done" from you. You didn't die for me. You didn't save me. You didn't bleed for me. You didn't have your beard chucked. Ooh, I like that. Yeah. You didn't have your beard plucked out for me. You didn't suffer the fullness of God's wrath on the cross for me. Only Jesus did. And he's the only one I have to worry about pleasing. But by pleasing him and honoring him and living for him, as a beautiful byproduct, you guys get the overflow. Man, that's awesome. That's a good deal. The same reward was given for the faithfulness of two as well as the five. The key to effective ministry is to be found faithful and obedient. What do you have? This is all it took. Well, it was a lot bigger, but this is all it took for Shamgar to have his name recorded in God's living word. I've read over that verse, those verses, countless times. You probably have too. Some of you are like, Shamgar, what the heck is that? Is that even in the Bible? He's making that up. I think he's reading from the Upanishads or the Vedas. Is he reading from Hebrew or Hindu or what's he reading from? No, it's in God's word. Seems really insignificant, and some of us may feel insignificant, but when you decide that I'm going to set my heart and life, I'm going to make myself available, and I'm going to turn loose whatever's in my hands and whatever's in my heart to God, you're game changing. You're going to make a difference in this universe because you took a stand for Jesus Christ. Scott, man, if you don't know Scott, I met a guy last night really discouraged. And he actually goes to church in Lake City. And I said, dude, I need to get somebody's number in your phone. His name is Scott Hebern. I'm just going to warn you, they ain't no telling what will come out of his mouth, but it'll definitely edify you. It'll be what you need at the time. It'll be from the Hebern, what is it, Scott? The Hebern version? I can't remember what it is, but it's good. I said, you need somebody like this speaking life into you. Shamgar did what he could. He did what he could with what he had. He did what he could with what he had where he was. Remember when Kelly talked about, man, I was listening to what she said thinking, man, that's me. Sometimes we go through ministry. I remember people going through Bible college thinking, one day, I'm going to serve God one day out there. When I'm a youth pastor or when I'm a this, I'll go to church or I'll serve God there and I'll be active in ministry there. And some of you may be thinking, as soon as I find the life right, the right life group or the right church or the right job or the right spouse or the right boat or the right whatever, I'll serve God then when everything's right. Shamgar was a farmer in Israel. I just wonder, are you a farmer faithfully serving God at home, work, school, church, community? And the reason I say that is look at this verse in Acts 17, verse 26. Acts 17, 26. It doesn't matter if you're where you're at because of bad decisions you've made. And you can say, it's not God's fault I'm here. I'm the one that did it. Yeah, but God's letting you be there to teach you something. Listen to what this says. Paul was talking to people at Mars Hill. He's talking to some really smart people or pseudo-intellectuals. They thought they were really smart. And he tells them right here in verse 26, from one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set before them and the exact places where they should live. God determined exactly where you are, where you should be, and what he asks of you right now, where you're at right now, is be faithful. Make yourself available, make what you have available, and accept that you're right where God wants you to be. Maybe you're not the happiest about your church. We went from Parkview where we had things rocking, didn't we, Eb? Man, Brother Ralph was like, the Energizer Bunny, I loved him. I mean, things were upbeat. We could clap. We had black people in that church, so we could actually keep beat. We didn't fade, buddy. We had it going on. They can sing and clap and not stop. I wish I could do that. But anyway, I'm too cracker for that. Anyway, went from there to Graceville, and I was like, man, I didn't know you could sing hymns that slow. Wow. And I love hymns. Dude, rich theological truth. But today? Can we finish that verse today? All right. God has appointed exactly where you are. And I just wonder, where are you Man, Pam and Virgil have known their entire adult life that God's called them. Isn't that just awesome? And now they're saying, God, we're ready. Send us. Take us. That is just amazing to me. That they're saying, your will above all else is what I want, God. That just blows me away. Here we are. Here's what we have. This is where we're at. Are you the man of God at work, at school, at church? You know, at work, at prisons. I love that Scott is just, Scott's who he is wherever. We've got OCC ministry team led by our pastor of prison ministry, Scott Heburn, and Scott's going to be ordained here soon. Man, just being faithful, speaking life into people, being faithful where you are. That's what God wants, faithfulness. And the last thing I want to talk about him, he did what he could with what he had where he was when it was time. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, in the days of Jael, people couldn't travel the roads because the Philistines were trying to get them, trying to knock them in. Actually, what you'll find is during this time, Hebrews, the only thing they could, the only weapons they really had was that they had a little bit of metal down here and a little bit of metal up there. They didn't really have swords or anything. The Philistines, they had a way of using billows through the rocks to smelt iron. The Hebrews couldn't do it. They'd go to the Philistine village and go, can you cap my stick so I can poke my cow? Make me a blade? Hey, how about a knife? Nope. Okay. They had no weapons, so they kind of had to do that. You know, Samson kind of used the jawbone of a donkey because he didn't exactly have a machete. The Philistine says, hey, let me think about this. No. How about if I give you a machete, you might whack me with it. That's not a good idea. It was a time of fear because they knew that the bad guys with the weapons were coming after them. They couldn't walk on the roads. They had to hide off in the bushes. Looks like Philistines down there. We better watch out. Better hide. The next, in verse 7, in chapter 5, verse 7, Deborah says, village life ceased. People scattered from the villages and started getting in cities with big walls so that they could start defending themselves. They were scared to death. There's things about this stinking economy that scare me to death. I have worked 58 days this year, this whole year. I'm about to have to leave tomorrow and go out of town for possibly 6 weeks because that's the only work I have. God told me to provide for my family, so that's what I'm going to do. But it's a time of uncertainty. The only security I realize that any of us should realize is God. He's it. And when you think about that, it's not too crazy to go to Kenya, is it, guys? Because you're absolutely in God's hands. He's the only security you got. The 401k, all this other stuff, who knows? The money you have in your wallet may not be any good, especially if China cashes in on us. Wow. There is an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven. Hit the next slide, Shelley. There's two thoughts about time, not chronological time, but time or season of time. In the Hebrew, says there's an appointed time or an occasion or season, and in Kairos, that's something that that Scott probably talks about, is in the prison ministry Kairos, to tell people, there's a season of time you're in right now. Make the most of it. You're in here. You ain't going nowhere. Fill yourself up with God. Get ready to be outside. But both of these have the idea, the implication, not of the time itself, but what the time will give you the opportunity to do. They don't suggest the convenience of the season, but the necessity of the task that's at hand. Anytime you see these, it's talking about something God gave somebody a season to do. You might be in a season of rest in your life. Maybe you sit back and say, man, I used to serve God. I used to do Awana. I was on every committee out the door. And, wow, just... That's another joke for another day. I'll let that go. I served on every committee. I served this. I am RAs, GAs. I did it all. But right now, I'm just kind of twiddling my thumbs. Maybe you're just in a season of healing, who knows, season of dormancy. But God wants you to present yourself and be faithful. And what I've realized is you can't live on all those victories. Don't live in the defeats of the past, but you can't live in the victories either. Remember Sean talked about that. He was called to close the church down, and they lived in the past. We used to do this, but now we're empty. We used to do all these things. What are you doing right now? What has the God of this universe spoken to your heart today, this morning? What's he told you today and this morning? That's what we need to be seeking. What's his revelation today? See, that's God's job. God says, I reveal. You accept or you don't accept. Some of us don't accept. He tells God, dogs to bark, cats to meow, and they do it. Tells people, obey, and we sometimes don't. Is it your time? So what's the takeaway? I love Brother Eddie's takeaway, so we got one too. Takeaway, this is what I want you to gather from all of this that I've talked about today. First, make yourself available to God. God, here am I. Send me, use me. Make whatever you have available to him. Here's my stick, God. Here's my voice, God. Here's my mind, God. Here's my strength, God. We're doing, what is it we're doing? The game check, the mud run? We got like some awesome mud runners. So if anybody's got a real knee, I've got fake knees, so I can't run. But if you got a real knee, you'll donate to me, I might run. But I mean, they're going to honor God. Look, right here, Game Changers. Steven's looking mighty buff these days, especially sporting that hawk. He's got it. Make whatever you have available. He's like, man, I'm going to honor God with my body. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, honoring God. Make wherever you are in life available to God. You might think you have an insignificant job that doesn't speak into a lot of people. You'd be absolutely amazed what people think of you when you live for Jesus. I was blown away at how many people in forestry, in the woods, think of you're an absolute game changer of this universe when you live for Jesus, because people realize there's something different about that guy. Not different, you ride the short bus, different. Wow, I like this guy. I like being around him. And if you ride the short bus, that's okay too. I'll drive you. Be found faithful wherever you are in life. And remember this, all that you have and all that you are, all that you have is God's. You're his steward. I remember reading of this in 2005. I remember reading about mission. A missionary came back. He was on furlough. And what that means is he didn't have a lot of support. So he would serve about 3 years. And then he and his family would come back. And they would go to different churches and kind of share their ministry, share their life story. You know, this is what we're doing. And you guys pray about it, and if you want to pray with us and partner with us and write letters to us or even give to us or, you know, raise money for us, help us, you know, anything you can. Well, man, this guy's name is Robert, and I can't remember his last name, but he had been in Africa preaching, and he came back. Very first church he went to, he's preaching his heart out. You know, he's kind of like me. He's very, cries at the drop of a hat. He's emotional. In touch with his feminine side, and that's okay. You know, you're as big as me, it's all right. Nobody's going to say anything about it if they know what's good for them. I'm just kidding. That was the old Pat, not the new Pat. Anyway, Robert, he's preaching his heart out, and he notices a little boy that's about 8 years old that really has his attention, and he's seeing tears in the little boy's eye, gives the invitation. People come forward. Well, the little boy, man, he walks right up to the front, sits down about where you're at, Elliot, sits down about the second seat there. And Robert had been sitting here. Little boy sits right down beside there. And he could tell this little boy wants to come up, but I'm not going to force him. God is God. So he's just waiting. Service is over. People, you know, congratulations. You know how it is when you preach. Everybody, no matter how terrible you are, brother, that spoke to my heart. You are awesome. Thank you so much. Isn't that right, Kevin? I've never had anybody come up and go, "You're pathetic." If you think so, please tell me, because I need to know. Anyway, people tell him how good. Well, he's noticing this little boy, really, God is dealing with his heart. There's something going on in this little guy's heart and in his mind. So he just slowly walks up to the little guy, jumps off the stage, and says, "Hey, you know, how's it going? What's God dealing with your heart? You know, what's God talking to you about?" He says, "Mr. Robert, when you were up there preaching, saying we should give God everything we have, God told me I need to give him what I have. And we just got back from a vacation at the beach, and my mom and dad don't get to spend a lot of time with me, but we were at the beach, and I collected these seashells. I love these seashells and my thumb drive. I love my seashells, but God told me I need to give you my seashells." He said, "Well, son, let's pray about that." So they knelt down, they prayed, "God, I pray you take these seashells and that you do powerful things through them. I thank you for this little boy giving all that he has for you. Just love you, Father. Thank you for his faithfulness. Bless him in Jesus' name." Little boy gives the seashells and he's crying. Robert's crying. I'm crying. Some of you might be crying. Well, guy shares that story at next church that night. Man comes up after the service and says, "Robert, you have those seashells?" So, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I sure do." Pulls them out. He says, "Lord told me to give you $1,000 for those seashells." Within five churches, the guy had raised $10,000 for the seashells. That's as far as I know. I don't know how far it went, but that little boy had raised a lot of money for this missionary because he said, "It's seashells. And it's really precious to me because this is a wonderful memory of my mom, my dad, not fighting together, me with them. But if God wants it, it's yours, God." And that's all he wants from us is to just let him have what we got. That's all he wants.